You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
And very pleasant. Good afternoon. Welcome. Middle of October. And man, was the fourth weekend of the SEC season dramatic. We have it all for you this afternoon. It may take more than that to get your reaction and a number of guests. Let's start with some headlines before we get off this week to quite a start. And man, the confidence went through the roof. Nick Saban returns. I guess you perhaps have heard that by now. And Bama keeps rolling. What can you say about a second half shutdown? Meanwhile, a week ago, he was talking about filling the swamp. Unfortunately, today, Dan Mullen and his football team missed the last game, and he is currently isolating due to a positive COVID read. It was originally Nick Saban on Wednesday. We took care of that. And now here, Dan Mullen. So could there be a better way? This is SI's Ross Dellinger. Should college football change its approach to contact tracing? Big issue. A lot of people say yes. Let's do it immediately. Oh, Rocky Top. Yeah, that's what I said. Four games in, enthusiasm shattered. Jimmy Brumbaugh, the defensive line coach, fired Jeremy Pruitt.
You know, yesterday I decided to make a change at the D-line position. Coach Brumbaugh done a really nice job for us. He worked his tail off. Sometimes, from a philosophical standpoint, things are just not a fit, and it just didn't work out for us, so I decided to do that, and I'm going to coach the defensive line for the rest of the season.
Four games into it, a guy you hire, not a good fit. Okay. Makes sense. Meanwhile, Kentucky, appreciating the job that Mark Stoops is doing. 2 weeks ago, that program looked to be gone. Even those of us who have always liked Stoops couldn't figure it out, started wondering about basketball season. No longer. Hold on, this football season is still going. Mark Stoops definitely earning his keep in the Commonwealth, and he'll be with us in a couple of minutes. So we have a number of guests, and we'll start with one of my close friends for pretty much 35 or 40 years, Eli Gold, the voice of the Crimson Tide, will be right out of the chute. And then Mark Stoops, he's back. Dellinger on the future of contact tracing. Josh Kendall, how about that win for Will Muschamp? How about that loss for Gus Malzahn? And Trey Wallace on the carnage on Rocky Top. Let's get your phone calls and start with Dominic in Jacksonville. Hey, Dominic, always good to have you on.
Oh, what's up, Paul? Roll Tide, baby. What's up with your boy, Daryl? Is he going to call in?
Does anyone think Daryl will call in today? I doubt it.
Well, Paul, but my thing is, I kept telling everybody all week, Georgia is one that had a great defense, but it hasn't went against a great offense. Matt Jones is the Heisman front runner right now. And we got the best dual receivers in the country, Paul. Daryl, call in. It's a damn Roll Tide. Nick Saban is a way better coach than Nick. You know what I say, Paul, before you let me go? Kirby Smart is a 2.0 Mark Richt. He can get you all the recruits in the world, all he wants. But when it's time for him to beat a big team, just like my Braves, everything in Georgia is cursed, Paul. It's a Roll damn Tide. Talk to you later, Paul.
Okay. Does anyone think Daryl is going to call in today? Does anyone? Raise your hand if you think Daryl is going to call in. For those listening on radio, my hand is raised. Daryl is next.
Boy, they love me, don't they, huh? You know what? I used to think that Alabama had the worst fan base when it comes to losing, but I'm starting to reconsider that, and I think I'm going to give that award now to Georgia fans. I mean, I have never heard of so much whining in my life. Alabama had the more talented team. That's why Georgia lost. But you know what? I mean, Georgia was in the fight the first half. Smart knew that they had more talent. He went out there and was physical with them. Alabama, second half, they were a lot more physical, and finally, talent prevailed. But Georgia is 3-1, man. These people are calling for Kirby Smart's job. Really? I mean, you're right where you're supposed to be. When I looked at the schedule this year before things started, I'll tell you right now, I had Georgia going 8-2. I thought we'd lose Alabama. I thought we'd lose to Florida. I think we can still beat Florida. But you know what? All Georgia's got to do is win. How do you get the rematch with Alabama? It's hard to beat us.
Hey, Daryl, why would you want a rematch without – I mean, Daryl, slow down.
Hold on. What?
Why would you want a rematch?
Say it again?
You think a rematch is going to be any better the second time?
I think Georgia can clean up some things. Georgia's got to play the perfect game to beat Alabama, but I think they can do it. They, you know what? They must look pretty good in the eyes of the people who do the polls. I've never seen a team lose by 17. They only dropped one spot to, what, like 4 or 5? And I was amazed by that. But to beat Alabama, you got to play four quarters. You got to play 4.5 quarters of football, which is impossible because you also got to beat the crappy officiating. I mean, good Lord, is Georgia ever going to be able to play Alabama and get some calls go their way? Horrible call on the pass interference. Bad, bad, bad. How many times do they got to jump offside before the official finally throws the flag? Bad, bad, bad. It's hard to beat Alabama as it is. You're not going to beat them with the officiating. But, hey, we're still with fine. We're right where we want to be. Go Dawgs.
Okay. By the way, I have no idea what he said, but I'm glad he called. How about Jim in Charlotte? Hey, Jim, go right ahead.
Hey, how are you doing today, Paul?
We are doing
Daryl's
well.
Daryl's a little upset. Daryl's a little upset, isn't he?
A little bit.
I was going to call about the AP poll that just came out and how ridiculous the preseason poll is listing six or seven SEC teams and only 3 ACC teams. When you look at the poll today, you got 6 ACC teams in there and only 4 SEC teams.
Can you tell me why, Jim, can you tell me why that matters?
Oh, it doesn't really matter now until the final.
I agree with you on that. Hey, listen, I hate to run. We have a lot to do on the program. I mean, what's the sense of arguing about the AP poll right now? It's irrelevant. It's fun, but it's irrelevant unless you're in there or unless you're not. Let's take a break. Eli Gold coming up. Mark Stoops at the bottom of the hour. We are busy today, and we hope you'll stick around.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tonight, 7 p.m., TOL. The crew will be here to break it down and look ahead. 7 p.m. Eastern, right here. And with so much going on, it gives me great pleasure to welcome the first guest of the afternoon, Eli Gold, the voice of the Crimson Tide. And Eli, you've done a lot in your career, and I have to imagine, or I'll ask you to describe what last week must have been like. Good afternoon, my friend. How are you?
I am well, my friend. Great to be on your show. Last week was unusual, obviously. The emotions, the storylines were abundant, and of course, on top of everything else, before we knew the outcome of any additional testing, I realized that on Thursday of the preceding week, of course, I hosted the Nick Saban show, and while we were separated by 6 feet and we had a plexiglass barrier between us and except for when we were actually talking on the air. We were both wearing masks. That was, you know, a significant time around the coach. I was also around our director of athletics in Oxford before the game a couple weeks ago now. And so anyway, my family said, you need to go get a COVID test just to be sure. This is before Coach Saban had gotten any of the negative tests. So on top of everything else, I ran out and got a COVID test. Thank God it was negative. But, you know, what that does to your mind, and I can't imagine what the coach was going through, looking at potentially having to miss the game and be at the house. And the same thing for me. I said to my wife, I said, you know, I've not missed a game in 32 years. I said, this can't be. Thankfully, it all worked out. But, yes, it was quite the storyline. You know, do we redo the tease for our broadcast? Do we keep it the way it is? A lot of things that, you know, the listeners don't have to worry about, but it's part of the reality in our business. So, yeah, there were a lot of things going on, a lot of moving parts, but when the parts finally stopped moving, Alabama had a nice win on Saturday night.
Eli, I know we're all thrilled with the outcome and Coach Saban, and I can't believe it's taken me this long to ask someone, but how is Greg Byrne doing?
He says he's doing fine. I texted him the other day. I said, how are you? He said, I'm doing okay. He was not at the game Saturday night. So I didn't really press
sure.
him any farther, but I did correspond with him via text
okay.
on Saturday before the game, and just so I could say something on the air. And he said he's doing good, and that was that.
Well, Eli, obviously you're about as plugged in as you can get, and I'm sure by Thursday, maybe even into Friday, I mean, you had the show Thursday night, you started getting some indicators. Kind of take us through Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, just getting ready for this game with so much uncertainty.
Well, you know, in the basics, Paul, I had to do the same thing I do every week. I mean, I was doing my notes, I was doing my memorization, I was, you know, gathering information, I was reading the newspapers from all around, getting, you know, little tidbits I might have missed. So from that standpoint, it didn't change. Internally, you know, we were talking about, you know, how do we handle this if Coach Saban is not there? Can he call in and do his sponsored halftime interview from the house? We always have him on at halftime for a minute after the half ends. You know, can he do that? Is that permissible? Can he not? You know, how about the pregame show? I always talk with the coach, and, you know, for years, I always taped the pregame show with all the other coaches I've worked with, dating back to Bill Curry. I taped that on Friday afternoon or Friday evening, and we did it, and it was done. It was in the can, as we say in the business. Well, Coach Saban, we do that show 2 hours before kickoff. That's always been his policy. Since the day he showed up, he wants that interview to be done 2 hours before kickoff. He says it's the most important interview of the week. He wants our listeners to have the latest up-to-the-moment stuff. So then the question was, well, if he is not going to be at the game, are we still going to do it with him? Do we do it with Sarkisian? If the coach is at the house, does he want to do the interview at 10 o'clock in the morning and get it out of the way? Or, I mean, it's just a lot of, you know, broadcast business kind of stuff. But Thursday night, we did the show. I mean, he was just fine. He was on Zoom, of course. He didn't come to the restaurant, but he was on Zoom from the house. He said he was just fine. He felt good, had no symptoms. And to be honest, Paul, we probably spent maybe 5 minutes. There were some obligatory questions you obviously had to ask. But we probably spent 5 or 6 minutes of the hour talking COVID, and the rest of the hour we talked Alabama-Georgia and football as, you know, as though it were a regular show. And the same thing, you know, Friday, you just ask people, what are you hearing? And, you know, nobody really had anything concrete until they released the second negative. But, you know, so you adjust, you get your ducks in a row depending upon what actually happens. But other than that, we just proceeded on getting set for the broadcast as though it were the next big game on the Alabama schedule.
Eli, your job is to broadcast the game, but certainly you see everything. And as that game went to halftime and then to the third quarter, I'm just curious. I mean, you had to feel something changing Saturday night because the outcome indicated a lot changed.
Yeah, and, you know, you wonder what all was said and talked about in the locker room. The team just seemed to play with a lot more confidence in the second half. They seemed to, you know, to knuckle down and get a little tighter in the assignments. Obviously, the offense, it's very comforting, Paul, as you can imagine. It's very comforting to have the type of offense that Alabama does when you know you can put up, you know, exorbitant numbers on the offensive side of the scoreboard. You know, also in the second half, Jordan Battle came back. As you remember, right, he was suspended for the first half after a targeting call in the Ole Miss game. That affected things. But I think everybody just kind of settled in. The coach probably talked to him and maybe didn't even peel the paint off the walls. He doesn't do that a lot at halftime. And I think everybody just kind of settled in and played well. And once things started going Alabama's way, and then the Tide just started eating clock. What was that final figure? I think they had like 11 minutes of the ball in the fourth quarter, something, you know, crazy like that. So, once you get on that roll, it's tough to stop things. And Bama played well.
Before you go, Eli, I feel like I know your career moderately well, having known you all these years. I mean, for those who don't know, Eli was...
I heard on the open when you signed on 35-some-odd years. That's true, man. We're, I guess we were two at the time when we first met, huh?
Yeah, and one time when things quiet down, I'm going to have Eli back on, and I joked with him a few weeks ago when I was a guest on one of his programs that for all of you who curse me, about not wanting to hear me or even see me. Eli Goat is Eli's the reason I'm here. He gave me my first start in radio.
Yep.
What were you thinking, by the way, Eli? Were you delusional back then?
I needed somebody to fill in on Tuesday. What am I going to say? But no, it was. We laugh about it, Paul. But obviously, in those days, for the folks who don't know, you were a very much talked about writer for the Birmingham Post Herald. And you did so very well. Everybody knew you. They either loved you or hated you. But it was kind of like a Cosell thing. They either loved Howard Cosell or they hated Howard Cosell, but they always tuned in to hear what he was going to say so they could talk about it at the water cooler the next day. Well, it was the same thing. I mean, let's be honest. You were a great wordsmith, but you were one of the cutting-edge writers who started telling things like it was in an era where, obviously, for years that wasn't done. So, it was a natural for me to get somebody who was going to generate listenership on those afternoons when I couldn't be there to do the show myself.
And thank you for saying that. What I really must say I was struck by when you said 32 years and Bill Curry, I had forgotten how long you've been part of the Alabama broadcasting team. That is in today's day and age, that's unbelievable.
And you know, Paul, and you were here at the time, I didn't know if I would make it to week number two. I'm serious. I mean, as you remember, I was a pro sports guy from New York with no contact, no ties to the university. I had done minor league baseball in Birmingham and hockey. I had talk show, but I was not a University of Alabama guy. And when I was hired, there were people who wrote the university and said they were taking them out of their will. I mean, who are you? What are you doing hiring this guy? It was far from a popular selection, and I genuinely didn't know if I would make it to week number two. And thankfully, the people in charge supported me, and the late John Forney, who had done 30 years of Alabama football, and Doug Layton, who was the color man forever, they were very accepting of me, and our producer, the late Burt Bank, who was beloved in the state of Alabama. He was very supportive, but I had no idea that I'd make it to 32 years. I, honest to goodness, didn't know if I'd make it to week number two.
Yeah, I was just starting, I was doing a show that first couple of weeks, and Eli, that is no understatement. And it was just you were replacing someone,
a legend.
Yeah, similar. He was in Bear Bryant's league in terms of radio play-by-play, and you're still there. And based on what I hear, you're not going anywhere.
Well, I would hope not. And you know what? Let's be honest here, too, Paul. You're always a better broadcaster if you have a good story to tell. And Lord knows I've had some great stories to tell over the years here. So that has helped out. It's just the way it is. But no, as long as they'll have me and as long as my health is good and my eyesight hangs in there, I will hopefully be here for many more years to come.
We hope so. Eli, come back soon. We always enjoy it. Thank you very, very much.
My pleasure. Great to be with you, Paul. Have a good day.
You got it. The legendary Eli Gold, and it's always great to talk to him. Just miss seeing him. We will take a break. When we come back, a guest who deserves to be on this program, in spite of what the host has said about him, Mark Stoops, the head coach at Kentucky, coming up next.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We're delighted to welcome Mark Stoops, coming off of just an absolute amazing win Saturday in Knoxville. Coach, thank you very much. I know you have to get ready for a couple of games, but that must have been pretty sweet to go back and at least enjoy that one for a few minutes.
No doubt. Really, appreciate our team and continuing to work hard and prepare. And we knew we weren't too far off the first couple of weeks. Everybody you could see around college football. It's a different year, different season. It is what it is. You have to make the most of it. And we knew we weren't too far off, and just continue to grind it out and work and get better. And went out and played a really good game against Tennessee. That's the great part, is we still didn't play great. We didn't put it all together, but we played good enough to take care of business there. And we know there's a lot more ahead of us.
Coach, you lose the first game at Auburn, tough one, a lot of bizarre plays, and then the second one missed extra point, and then in overtime, and there were a few, I'll include myself in the group, who were starting to write you off, but you held firm. You didn't seem like from a distance, it may have bothered you internally, but when you were out in front, you remained very calm and stoic about it. I'm really interested in your approach to that.
Well, any time you lose, any pressure, it's always internal. Nobody was more frustrated and upset than myself, our staff, and our team for the first couple games, but that's up to us. You know, we're the only ones that could get that fixed, and, we knew we weren't far off. Let's face it, a play here, a call here, a a missed opportunity, a couple inches at the goal line, an extra point, and you could be sitting here at 4-0, but it is what it is. And you know, that's up to us to change the outcome. And we knew we had a good football team, but we also know we got a lot of work to do. Let's face it, in this league, each week, you just have to hit the reset button. Win or lose, come back in, build on the good things you're doing, try to get the things fixed, and move on to the next opponent. It's going to be a grind. Our team, after our first victory a week ago, I said, guys, relax, continue to work, continue to do the things necessary. I said, there's only like five or six teams in our league with a better record and have more wins. And now we come back and we get back-to-back wins. And, there's three teams in our league that have more wins than us. So it's just going to be it's going to be a different year. You just got to put that week behind you and get prepared for the next opponent. And that's what we have to do to get ready for this week. But I am proud of our team's effort just to stay the course. We never panic. We never flinch. Continue to do the good things we're doing, build on that, and get some things corrected. But we're not different than many teams. The margin for error is very thin. So it's difference of a couple plays at certain games.
Coach, let's talk about the defense for a second, because the last 2 weeks, it's hard to find anyone who has been more suffocating than yours. It better than we do. So try to explain from the second week to where we are now in terms of what if anything is different other than the scoreboard.
Well, I think, you have to get better. I mean, I think there was a lot of talk nationally. You could see it early on that a lot of us, it was a little different defensively. You go that long without playing games, without spring ball, and just, without, any non-league opponents to start with, it's very hard. And any mistake you make is magnified. So I just think, the last couple weeks, our coaches have worked extremely hard, and more importantly, our players have, to get themselves in a position to execute the defense and get all 11 guys on the same page. And I really thought we did that as a team. Offensively, I really felt like we were going to move the ball a good portion of the day. Saturday, we missed a couple opportunities early on things we could control. But in the second half, we knew if we got it to halftime, and that we felt pretty good, and we'd have a strong finish, and we did that. We really took over the second half Saturday, and we really felt like we would have a good opportunity to do that.
Coach, I heard you mention in the clip that preceded you being on live about the next couple of weeks where you're going up against programs that have had weeks off because of COVID, other issues. I know that everything is different this year. We can't say that enough, but how has it been? We talked to you right before the season, but now that we're 4 weeks in, how would you describe the challenges of just dealing with this day to day?
It's definitely different. There's no question. I think, what it's hardest for me is just the team building, the communication, the ability to be close to our team all the time. I get together with the entire team on Mondays and Fridays only. The rest of it's virtual or in position meetings, and we get into an area where we could spread out on those days. But I think that's difficult because I like communicating. I like looking them in the eyes and being close, and certain team meals and team functions and things of that nature. You have to really make a conscious effort to continue to unify your team and to get them through, the struggles of an SEC season, because there's going to be some struggles. There's going to be some ups and some downs, but you have to stay the course. You have to stay united. And I think that's one of the big challenges. When we get on the practice field, it feels very normal. So that's been fun, and it's good once you get out there. I think the difference is when you're away from the practice field.
Coach, finally, as you look ahead, we're four down, six to go. This sounds like a loaded question after the last 2 weeks, but what's this team capable of?
It's week to week, Paul. It's just like anybody. We just got to stay the course. You know, we have to continue just to grind it out and get better and you know, stay on course. And sometimes the things that come from success are the things that take away from your success, and you cannot let that happen. You know, you can't take the attaboys and all the pats on the back and all that. You got to just get back to work, continue to focus on yourself, continue to focus on the things that you need to improve on, build on the good things you're doing, and just stay the course. Stick to the grind, and it's going to be a long season, and it's week to week.
Well, congratulations again. An amazing win at Tennessee. First time the program's won there in about a million years. I know it was a great win for your program, but as you said, here comes another game this Saturday. Yeah. Thank you, Coach. Always great to see you.
I appreciate it. Thanks.
Thank you, Coach Mark Stoops, joining us from Lexington, where his team is celebrating an absolute beatdown, a total evisceration of Tennessee, which has already caused one Tennessee coach to lose his job, and a quarterback whose career on Rocky Top hanging in the balance. We will take a break, get your reaction to all of that. Haven't even talked about Arkansas's big win. We'll do that as well as we continue.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Let's see. Andre is up next. Hey, Andre.
Coach, what's going on, Coach?
We're doing well.
Listen, this conference is not like other conferences that are affected by the COVID-19. In this conference, we're going to have some culture change. That's just how it rolls. These big-time boosters and alumni, they say whatever it takes, get this guy out of here, then that's what they're going to do. They're not like other conferences that's going to be hamstrung by financial losses. So, Coach, I watched that game with Georgia and Alabama. Man, Alabama is just like an anaconda. They just squeeze you, and they squeeze you, and they squeeze you, and finally you collapse and pass out, and they eat you. That's what they do. And they just put so much pressure on you that if you can't stand up to that pressure and fight back, this is what you have. And, you know, I was listening to the guys this morning on talk radio, and they were saying that Danny Cannell and them were saying that you have to have a difference maker at quarterback when you're playing a team like Alabama. And this guy that Georgia trotted out there, hey, man, I mean, I hate to say it, but he really just Jake Fromm. And we have been hearing all year that Georgia was going to change their offense, but this is the same offense they've been running forever. It's 3 yards in a cloud of dust, run the ball first down, second down, and then they might throw the ball. And I just, even if they had a rematch, I think it'll be the same thing.
You know football, Andre. Stetson Bennett's not going to be at Alabama second time around. So Kirby Smart either changes quarterbacks or goes down again.
Either changes quarterback. But I thought, Coach, they had been talking all year. That's why Fromm has left and went to the NFL. They were going to change the offense and become more dynamic. LSU had to do it. Hell, Alabama had beat us 8 years in a row. And we weren't going to beat Alabama with that same offense. So, hey, man, you got to get into the 2020s or you're going to get left behind. Thanks, Coach.
Always good. Thank you. Eddie in Florida is up next. Hey, Eddie.
Hey, Paul. Roll damn tide. Hey, Paul, I call you. Well, first of all, we're not going to get the truth from Darryl. Darryl is a Georgia homer loser. That's all he is. All right, now you're going to make up all the excuses in the world. I never heard about the 3 interceptions was thrown by his quarterback. I told you, Paul, I told Georgia that they were in trouble, the quarterback. I don't know if you remember that. And I told you also, Paul, when I called last week, I said, if you're going to tell me you got a great offense, great defense, the greatest defense in the world, I'm going to ask you who have you played. All right? And that got confirmed to me when I was watching Auburn putrid offense, and Tennessee putrid offense went down again. So I was like, basically, Georgia ain't played nobody. They haven't been tested. We can play 20 times, Georgia. You're going to be 0 for 20. Because here's the deal, Georgia. We got the best wide receivers. We got the best offensive line. We got the best running back. We got the best coach. And we got the best offensive coordinator. How in the heck you going to beat that? Same old Georgia, Paul. That's all that amounts to, same old Georgia. You had a guy call you last week, Paul, and said, why are you all talking about Mac Jones? Why ain't you talking about the mailman? Well, now you know why we ain't talking about the mailman. And then you had I-Man, idiot man, or insufficient, whatever you want to call him. I-Man going to come and, you know, he can't talk Auburn football. He can't talk Auburn football. So he got to talk about Coach Saban, all right? And he went down there and lost to South Carolina. If Auburn is Auburn is like Georgia. They think they like Bama every year, Paul. They think they're going to be good as Bama. It ain't happening. This is what I got to say to Georgia, Paul, before I go. We gave you Kirby Smart, and we gave you Scott Cochran, and you still can't beat us. Paul, and you talk about physicality. Tell me about the fourth quarter. Who was more physical? I don't think they wanted to tackle my man in the backfield. All right? So I got one thing to say to Georgia and all you Georgia Homer fans. Roll damn tide.
Thank you. Jamie is up next. Yes, hello, Jamie. Paul.
Hey, I just wanted to put a little emphasis on the Alabama and the Auburn and the SEC in general. I think we really got a lot of Band-Aids to pass out to a lot of these programs other than the Alabama right now. But really the coaches are being really fired upon and really held accountable when I feel like really it's not all the coaches' responsibility, their fault right now. We got to hold a lot of these athletes accountable for their ability to play and perform. And we're just not getting that performance out of some of these five-star athletes. And I feel like that personally we need to be putting more emphasis on how we can get the most out of our athletes when we put them on the field. And like with Georgia bringing the JUCO quarterback into a major setting in the Division I setting and putting him in the prime time, they couldn't expect anything any different. And
well, that's a fair point, but I mean, Georgia people tell me that Stetson Bennett's the best they have. So if that's the best they have, then they have to roll with it. Matt is up next. Hey, Matt.
In the A&M Arkansas game coming up, Paul. The reason why Georgia lost, I'm getting sick of hearing with Georgia Alabama game, because like the Alabama fan said, Georgia did never have a good quarterback, and they need to let this thing go already. But I want to talk about the A&M Arkansas game coming up, Paul. After the Arkansas fans, you ain't never going to beat us, Arkansas. And I wanted your opinion on that, Paul.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a really interesting game. And, you know, before we even get to A&M, which I think has done extraordinarily well bouncing back after...
We're going to go 9-1, Paul.
Arkansas has been the most amazing team of the year. And the coaching at Arkansas has been with Barry Odom, I think, deserves about a considerable amount of credit.
He deserves a lot of credit. The old coach for Arkansas, he was a joke, including the coach before him was a joke.
For Chad Morris, I mean, Auburn has him now. You see what's going on down there.
Oh, yeah, we're going to beat Auburn. I got one question to ask you about Auburn, Paul.
Okay.
Do you think Auburn's going to fire their coach?
Way too early to tell.
Okay, well, I believe he loses one more game or two more games.
Yeah, I mean, Auburn, the issue is that you have a trustee on the Auburn board. You have a trustee who defended Malzahn a couple of years ago when another trustee wanted him fired. And now you have somewhat of a standoff. Anyway, hey.